raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopehar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon.
तारे तोड़ लाऊं सारी दुनिया पर मैं छाऊं बस इतना सा ख्वाब है बस इतना सा ख्वाब है।
सबने सलामत दोस्तों, वेलकम बैक। It is Saturday. It is time to start living out those dreams. You are listening to Sapne Salamat with Rohit Chandra on KLOK 1170. It is Saturday, and we are on every Saturday as noon. As you know by now, this is a show that helps you realize your dreams. It's a non-commercial show with a singular goal to promote entrepreneurship and help you realize your dreams. So no money has been paid, no money has been received by anybody to make an appearance on today's show. Think of us as a helpline for startups, if you will. We will try and answer questions that you have around startups. Phone number to studios is 408-912-KLOK. That's 408-912-5565. We've got a very interesting topic that we're going to talk about today. Before I dive into that, there's a couple of things I wanted to do. I want to dovetail on the back. The previous show was talking about JavaScript. And I wanted to mention that we are looking for JavaScript developers. So if you are a serious JavaScript developer, please get in touch with us. The email address to get in touch is radio@rohit.com. That's R-A-D-I-O at R-O-O-H-I-T.com. So yes, we are looking for JavaScript developers. Having said that, last week we were talking about consumer technology companies. Today we're going to start off focus or narrow the focus a little bit more and talk about building successful consumer and mobile technology companies. So more specifically, consumer and mobile technology companies, which loosely translates means web companies and mobile companies. And we're going to talk about what it takes to build these companies successfully. So interestingly enough, what we've done is we sort of distilled it down and broken it down to three very simple things, three very simple things that I believe are common to requirements or common across building successful properties. While I'm doing that, I also have a question for you, my listeners, which is to say, if you are wondering about a company that you know which is in the consumer space or the mobile space, and you're wondering why it has been successful, call in and we'll analyze why it has been successful. The whole idea is to keep things simple. So one of our takeaways from last time was how to make life simpler. And that was what the caller said. So I think what I found is there's three fundamental characteristics. The first characteristic to build successful consumer web properties or successful consumer mobile companies is saying this whole notion of instant user gratification. Which means when a user comes onto the site or when he starts using your app, he should immediately be able to get what he's looking for. Case in point, obviously, is Google. Then what do? You go there to search. You go to a page, there's a box, you key in what you need to, and boom, you get some results. Hopefully, they'll be relevant to what you're looking for. Now, obviously, when we're talking about all of this stuff, we're talking within the context of building, yes, you got to have a good product, yes, you got to have good technology, but those are all very subtle and intangible. So I'm going to try to break it down into more tangible things. What happens in this example that we just talked about from Google, for example, was the fact that user went in, punched information, got results. What a lot of people did not notice, or perhaps did notice, is the fact that the user did not have to fill out a registration form. It is mind-boggling to me how many consumer web property companies out there and how many founders out there go. And the first thing that they say is, okay, let's get the user to register. It's a big no-no. Because we really don't care whether the user's name is John Adams or Adam Cathy. What you really care about is the behavioral profile. And to build a behavior profile, you do not need to know what their name is. You do not need to know what their address is. You do not need to know what their zip code is. You do not need to know anything about them other than the kinds of actions or activities that they're participating in. So more recently, I think folks are sort of beginning to realize a little bit more of this, and Facebook Connect is becoming big on the web. But having said that, there is still a very large number of people that require folks to register for a service, and that is completely meaningless. Second thing that we also noticed over here was there was no download. You went to Google, you put in something, and you got results back. Google didn't tell you to put on a plugin. Google didn't tell you to put on their toolbar. Google didn't tell you to do any of those different things. Ironically, again, a lot of consumer technology companies talk about building plugins and building browser add-ons and saying installing a piece of software. I think those days are long gone and long behind us because folks are not really interested in putting on any additional software on their computer. So that is a huge problem, and you cannot be expecting users to be doing that. Third thing that you also noticed is when you went and did a search was Google did not ask you to pay for it. When you're building consumer properties, consumers do not like to pay for anything. They are very, very simple facts. And the fourth thing, in my opinion, as part of this whole instant user gratification is the whole notion of it being fast. If it is not fast, maybe you're lost. You know, consumers just don't like to wait around for stuff to come down the wires. And again, I can use Yahoo as a counter example to say one of the reasons why they lost out was because Google search was so much faster. You go in there, you put in stuff, you get stuff back. It's really instant user gratification. So instant user gratification stems from free, no sign up, no download, and fast. I think these are very essential characteristics if you're looking to build a successful consumer web property. The second thing, in my opinion, which is very important for building consumer properties is it should deliver individual value, which means that it should not suffer from network effect. If you're building a property, do not say that, well, once I have 10 million users, then I can do this, or once I have 200 million users, I can do this, or once I have 1 million users, I can do this. It's got to be something where the moment the user comes on, it delivers value to the user. No matter what it is that the user is doing, whatever action, whatever service you're providing, it needs to deliver value. Again, I'll use Google as the example. Guy goes in, puts in a search term, you instantly get search results back. It doesn't matter if there's anybody else on the planet that's using Google or not. The fact that I can go there, put in a search word, and get some relevant results back is very important. One of the buzzwords I used in there was relevant because that's what search is about. So that's number two, which is no network effect. Question I want to pose to you is, are you wondering about a consumer property that you one of your favorites, and would you like to analyze why it succeeded? Call into the studios 408-912-5565, and we'll try and analyze why it is that this particular company succeeded in very simple terms. The whole idea is to communicate simplicity across to you, and simplicity across to consumers, because everybody talks about building simple, but what is simple to one person may not be simple to another, which is why what we're trying to do is look at things in an objective manner. So we're trying to figure out what it is that builds it simple. And I know last week we did a show about favorite consumer technology companies. Today we want to dovetail on that and we talk about favorite consumer technology companies and why they succeeded. So that's very interesting to distill it down into very, very simple terms. Now, obviously, whenever somebody's building a consumer property, or actually forget consumer, any company, there's literally a million different variables that go into it, and you're always trying to figure out what's going to be most interesting and what makes it work and what doesn't make it work. But we're trying to distill it down into saying what will be the most simple way of doing this. All right, we've got a call coming in. I'm going to grab this. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapne Salamat, this is Rishi here. I'm trying to get your perspective on what you think about tech and services like Foursquare and the success behind those, or do you even think they're successful yet?
Rishi, are you asking me about Hostware?
Foursquare.
Oh, Foursquare. Yes. So what is the question? Why is Foursquare successful? Is that the question? Or do you think it's the first part of your question is Foursquare successful? My answer is yes, Foursquare is successful. Part two of your question is, go ahead with part two again.
Yeah, the part two is, again, your perspective on the success behind it and how you think the instant gratification factor, kind of what you just narrated, translate to Foursquare, for example.
Okay, I have to confess, I'm not a very avid user of Foursquare. Which is to say I've used it once. But let's try and talk about it. I think the whole concept behind Foursquare is you go in and you get to a place and you announce the fact that I am here.
Right.
So when you're looking at something like that, The instant user gratification comes from the fact with the network effect. If I am the only person who's on Foursquare, then Foursquare is of no value to me, right?
That is precise, yes. And again, I think the reason why I picked that example to get your thoughts on is kind of it conflicts the 2 points you raised. Getting instant gratification without the network effect, and I kind of think that Foursquare is one of those examples where without network effect, it just doesn't get you anything.
You make some very good points, Rishi. I am stumped. Let me think about this for a second here. The only explanation I can give you is, unfortunately, I have not been avid user, but I actually have not even been a user. I've gotten on it once. And I think part of the reason why I didn't do it was because I didn't know anybody else that was on Foursquare. I got on, I announced myself, and now what? Nothing happened. And I left.
I'm in the same boat. And again, I think another factor that I would like to add, some of these things, and maybe it's because the age group I am in or understanding the user behavior, there are a lot of the new trends where I would say you don't know what clicks and what excites people. Sometimes it is just the fact that gratification from perspective of announcing themselves and not even caring who is looking at it. And that goes on for a while, and suddenly there is a network. So I myself can't explain it, but I thought I'd at least bring the perspective.
No, let me make an attempt at trying to explain it, and I can obviously...
Sure.
The way I think of it, this is a prime example where I got on it, I did not get anything out of it, and I did not become a user. So it is not a success far as I'm concerned. But applying this to a different demographic, and I'm going to make it up for a 19-year-old kid who first hears about it, he gets on it. Guess what? He doesn't get anything out of it. But his other 19-year-old buddies will get on it within the next day or week. And the moment they get on there, they are all getting gratification. So in my peer group or in my social group, nobody else seems to be getting on, which is why none of us are getting any gratification. And that's how those guys are getting gratification, because they're getting gratification. Now this guy in turn feeds off of that gratification, because now that his buddy is on, he knows where people are.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So it does come back to getting gratification instantly.
That's true. That makes sense.
And I think also, if they could have done a better or more prolific user gratification, then it could perhaps have been more prolific, where folks like me would have actually become users. I hear about Foursquare all the time. I put it on, but didn't get gratification out of it again.
Right, and maybe the angle would have been to use another existing social drive like Facebook or something else. But
absolutely, and that's what Facebook is doing now. Facebook is eyeing their lunch. Facebook has put their location-based services, and you know what? I've used that more than once. And the only reason used it more than once is because when I get on there, I know my friends are on there and they're looking. So I checked into a Starbucks and I said, hey, I'm here at Starbucks. And if the whole idea is, if anybody's in the neighborhood, they might just ping me and say, hey, dude, what you doing? I'm coming by.
Fantastic. Makes sense. Okay. All right.
Great.
Thank you very much, Rohit.
Thank you. Thanks for your call, Rishi. Appreciate it. All right. So we're talking about building successful consumer web technology companies, successful mobile technology companies. And question that we're posing to the audience is wondering, if you have a company that you think has succeeded, we'd like to analyze and figure out why they've succeeded, if they've succeeded, and what the reasons and factors behind their success are. And we just had a very interesting call from Rishi, from a user who has talking to us about Foursquare, a company that I haven't used myself. I think we were able to take a stab and analyze it. If folks have a differing opinion about our analysis, I would really, really welcome that. So I'd love to see folks that say, nope, this is not how Foursquare is. This is how, these are the flaws in an analysis. I would love to hear from you guys. Phone number to studio is 408-912-5565. All right, moving on. The third thing that I found very important for building these successful properties is creating champions or creating evangelists. And I think if you look at any of these companies, you have to create folks that are going to go out and become champions of that particular cause. One of the definitions that I've given in the past for viral marketing is a definition I'd like to repeat, where I always say, viral marketing is not something where a founder doesn't have money to build the business and he says, you know, how's the company, how are you going to market your product and it's going to grow virally? Viral marketing is when there is a person-to-person interaction and the focus of the interaction is the product. Think about that for a second. So when there is a person-to-person interaction and the focus of that interaction is the product itself. So example of that would be PayPal says, give me money. Two people are interacting and they're saying to each other, give me money. How? PayPal the money across to me. Similarly, Skype. Two people want to talk. They say, why don't you talk to me on Skype on the internet? Or a whole slew of IMs that are on there. Where there is a person-to-person interaction. And that is what is viral marketing. Viral marketing is very distinct and very different from word-of-mouth marketing or organic marketing or consumer marketing and or even guerrilla marketing. So these are all a lot of buzzwords, keywords that get thrown around. And what I'd like to do is make the distinction obvious for you, my listeners, so you can sort of figure out where it is that you sit. And if you're looking to build consumer properties, what you have to figure out is some way to get your product to be viral. And again, key to virality is there has to be person-to-person interaction between those two people that are on there. Anyways, we're going to take a break. I'm going to come back and continue talking about building successful consumer properties. You're listening to Sapne Salamat with Rohit Chandra.
To advertise on this show or to sponsor a segment, please call area code 408-469-4192. Unlike the Bollywood music shows that are playing in the background, this is a talk show that is being listened to by a fully engaged audience. Folks, it's not without reason that advertisers spend about $20 billion on radio advertising every year. So, if you're recruiting, looking for technical talent, looking to give your company exposure in the technology arena, then this is the show to advertise on. Get more bang for your advertising bucks. You can also email us at radio@ruit.com. Find us on the web at www.ruit.com/radio.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Are you behind on or having difficulty making your mortgage payments? If you or anyone you know is facing foreclosure and looking for answers, please contact us right away for a free consultation. Contact Sean Nasir, 209-603-3737, or go to www.georealtyusa.com. That's georealtyusa.com. California Department of Real Estate, license number 01475435.
Do you have a blog? Put a highlighter button on your blog so anyone that comes to your blog can highlight the most relevant parts of your blog for themselves and easily share it with their friends and family. It's very viral and increases the distribution of your blog. Tens of thousands of bloggers are already using it. Don't miss this opportunity and get left behind. Check out Ruit.com.
Welcome back to Sapne Salamat. You're listening to KLOK 1170 AM. Our host today is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and he started several companies in Silicon Valley. He's also a prolific inventor.
Sapne Salamat, thank you for that introduction, Jeff. Funny you should mention that. I just had another patent that got allowed last week, the week before last, so just 2 more weeks ago, and so I guess I'm a repeat inventor again. So that's fun. Anyways, we've got a call on hold. We're going to grab that. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yes, Sapne Salamat. This is Pat Krishnan here from Cupertino. Hey, I have a couple of questions mingled with thoughts out there here.
Lovely. Dive right in. Keep them concise. Keep them precise.
Sure. On the mobile technology, first thing is on the consumer side, I'm seeing people not being paying. Nobody cuts a check out there. Everything
absolutely
happens to be free out there. I do not know. That culture has been set in and people expect free.
Correct.
So how is it? What will change that scenario? That's part number one. Then part number two, when you extend the mobile to an enterprise, to a consumer.
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you here for a second, caller. I will take your thought number two, but let me address thought number one. So I'll try and address them as we go along.
Sure.
Thought number one, I think from my perspective, People just need to accept the fact as an empirical truth that consumers have gotten used to not paying for anything on the web. So if you're building a consumer technology company, I do not think you cannot charge consumers. Now, having said that, a lot of folks say that the trend is changing. There's a lot of companies that seem to be disproving that model. There's a lot of folks that are saying that, you know, it can work. And there are companies that are being able to create some value out of it and generate some revenue. But I happen to have, which is the unpopular opinion in town. And the unpopular opinion in town says, you should not try to monetize consumer properties in the early days. If you're building a consumer property, just accept the fact that people do not like to pay for things from a for technology on the web or online or on mobile. So give it out for free and now figure out a business model behind it. So I always tell people that, you know, you're looking to build companies and are you looking to build the local newspaper, which is your Sunnyvale, the Sun, if you will, or are you looking to build the New York Times? So this is a media play. If you're looking to build the local magazine or the local newspaper, for sure, go ahead and try and charge for it, and that's what your business is. But if you're looking to build the New York Times, go build something that's going to be have mass adoption, where you're going to have tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of users. And once you have tens of millions of users or hundreds of millions of users, there's a lots of different ways to slice it, dice it, and figure it out. Another model that's picking a lot of traction, and a model that's actually been around for a very long time, but is getting increasing levels of validation in the marketplace, is what people colloquially call freemium. Freemium meaning you start out free and then you upsell premium services. That is a model that I personally do believe in. And I think that is a model that you can actually build a very successful business out of. Again, there's companies like LinkedIn that have done that reasonably well. And there's a lot of other folks that are following that model that says, you know, here is the basic stuff, which is all for free. Now, by the way, if you're a power user, if you want power user features, pay me another 10 bucks or 20 bucks a month or 20 bucks a year, depending on what the service is. The whole idea is if you've built a sizable enough following, I'm going to make up a number, I don't know, 10 million users. Okay. Even if you get 2% of those 10 million users to use become premium users, that's 200,000 users, right? If you get 200,000 users to cough up 10 bucks, you suddenly got $2 million a month. Which is, for a whole year, is $24 million. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Yes, sir. True.
So you've actually built a good business. And remember, everybody talks about numbers. Look, you can put numbers for your marketing projections in an Excel spreadsheet and change one number here and change one number there, and the net outcome is completely different. But most importantly, you've got to figure out that is this going to be something really, really massive?
And the other thing is, gone are those days where using an Excel sheet we used to raise money. Those days are gone. People want the actual customers on the table, and you know, paying, non-paying, you know, large user, small user, all kinds of dichotomies and you know, statistics on that. So that is one
right. Part. And I think I want to sort of add to that mix, but I still hold the contrarian viewpoint where a lot of people say customers, and I say no. If you're building consumer, do not try to do not try to generate revenues in the near term. And it's a very unpopular opinion. And I would also caution entrepreneurs who decide to take this bad advice from me that raising money will become harder for them if they try and say that they're not trying to monetize in the early days. But that's something I passionately believe in. But in order to believe that, you also have to passionately believe that you're going to build a massive company and not just another company.
That is right. So that's one part on the consumer app where we see 200,000 plus applications on iPhone, on 100,000 on Android, whatnot, right?
Exactly.
And these applications, you know, life cycle, if you look at it, it's anywhere between 4 hours to 4 months, you know?
Yeah, and remember, keep in mind, these numbers are sort of meaningless in many ways, because what does it take a guy to build an app? One evening. You can put an app together in one evening, right? So the college kid sitting in his dorm room puts an app together that says, okay, I'm going to create a calculator.
And that's right.
There you have an application.
That's right. So, that being said, where do you think is enterprise mobility going? You know, as an enterprise, I've seen Gartner Magic Quadrants talk something about it. And again, you know what? I'm a skeptic here, and I don't want to trust these Gartner folks because they've got their agendas into the thing. So, however, you know, that being said, no offense to anybody, I just want to find out, enterprise mobility has not caught up in US, I think so. It's only those big guys like Oracle or Siebel, they enable their things on the mobile, and they have a mobile division. But look at the small, mid-sized you know, enterprises, which you know, wants to actually deliver the content on a mobile, on a BlackBerry, or on an iPhone, or whatnot. Yeah. So where that market is going, and is there a platform play out there? I mean, where is it that?
Yeah.
In your opinion.
Well, I could take a stab at it, but I'm going to actually deflect that question, and for the simple reason that because I'm saying today's topic, we were focusing on consumer.
Okay.
So I don't want to start talking enterprise. There is so much to cover in the consumer space, and I would love to spend a little bit more time on consumer if you don't mind terribly.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No,
all right. Thank you for your call. All right, folks. If you have a favorite consumer web technology company and you're trying to figure out why it succeeded, we're looking to get your calls and figure out and analyze for you why we think these companies succeeded. And hopefully in the entire process, all of us can learn why a certain company succeeds and why it doesn't. So just before we got this call, we were talking about two things. We said this whole notion of instant user gratification, and we talked about this whole notion of no network effect. The third thing that we wanted to talk about is creating champions, which means you have to create evangelists where more people will go and talk about their product and will say that, you know, this is something that you got to use, which comes back into that whole virality of it. So the whole idea is, how do you empower users to become your evangelists? And I'll break this down again into lots of different ways, and we'll try to slice it, dice it differently. So let's take an example of a company called YouTube. What YouTube did was, now again, first of all, I want to talk about the fact that YouTube was very viral. Why was it viral? Because there was a person-to-person interaction where a guy puts a video up on the web and he says, go check out my video. Again, back to that whole notion of person-to-person interaction where the focus of the interaction, where the focus of the interaction is the product itself, right? So YouTube became viral. But you also want to study about the fact, what else makes it viral? What YouTube also did was, they created this whole notion of making the videos being embeddable. I'm not going to sort of ponder or spend too much time to talk about the fact that there were a lot of video companies that were playing, and that were also, they also ran at that point. The biggest differentiator that YouTube did was, it was no download. You could look at video right there in your browser without having to put it in a plugin. A lot of the other companies were trying to put in a plugin, and YouTube had, as we all know, a $1.6 billion exit. The rest are companies that are in the bucket of also ran. So again, I want to reemphasize that there are a lot of different variables that are in play. But we would like to analyze what are the simpler ones and what are the more important ones, the more salient ones. Anyways, we've got another call on hold. We want to grab that. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapne Salamat, good morning, Luis. I just want to talk about two companies which are consumer focused, and they're pretty new. There's one called Zipcar.com.
What is your name, caller?
My name is Rao.
Rao? Okay. Go ahead.
And there's a company called Zipcar.com and Groupon.
Yes.
They are getting very popular in a very short time.
Yes.
And they have some novel concept which other websites don't offer. So that's one of the ways I think they just caught on.
But Rao, is novelty all it takes to be something for it to catch on?
Novelty is one of the things, especially because you won't find any other place, so you have to go to that. For example, Zipcar.
I beg to differ with you. I don't think novelty is. I differ very respectfully. I would welcome a healthy debate. I don't think novelty is a good way to differentiate yourself.
It's one of the factors, definitely. There are other things also.
Okay. So Zipcar is a novel concept. For the benefit of my listeners, I'm going to say Zipcar is this concept which I've only seen up in San Francisco, and I'm sure it's there in some of the other metros in this country, where you can go and pick up a car at a certain specified parking lots, and which means it's a shared cars, and the whole idea is there's a fleet of shared cars, and you all share those. You want to add to that, Rao? Is that a fair enough description?
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's pretty much what they do.
Okay.
And they have a lot of innovative technologies, like you can use your iPhone to unlock your car and get to your car space and things like that.
I'm sorry, Rao. I really don't agree with you. I think having an iPhone to use your car is not particularly innovative. It's just one of those things that it's the sign of the times, and you're just keeping abreast with the times. So
it may attract some people just because it's easy. Something like that.
I don't know. I've never used a Zipcar. I've seen them when I go up to San Francisco, and I say, nice idea, nice concept, but it has no use for me. So novelty is not enough. It has to be something that has a utility value that is going to solve a problem for me. One of the questions that I was considering asking my listeners that we decided not to ask today was the fact that, what are the problems that you are facing in your life? And depending upon what problems you're facing in your life, is you solve a problem. So Zipcar is for folks that live up in San Francisco, and the problem that they are facing is that they don't have their own car because parking is a problem, keeping a car is a problem. I don't think it's the novelty that's causing it to succeed. It's actually solving a problem. Back at you, Rao.
Okay.
No, you would you like to counter that?
Yes, that's about it. Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. All right, folks. So continuing, I'm sorry, Rao, we have a difference in opinion. I would again welcome contrarian viewpoints. I always encourage contrarian viewpoints. I'm not always right, and I'm not always wrong either. So I think love healthy debates. All right. So continuing on, we're going to talk about the third thing we were talking just before we got the call in was the fact that you have to create champions. And the way you create champions, and we started talking about YouTube, and we talked about... So what YouTube did was it allowed people to embed video on third-party sites. Now suddenly, the video that you had uploaded to YouTube was appearing on other people's websites. And when it appeared on somebody else's website, maybe even my own website, the beauty is it was all coming from YouTube, and YouTube was getting exposure out of it. So what that did was more people would go to YouTube and say, hey, wait a minute, I can upload videos here for free. Guess what they did it. And what other people were doing. So what YouTube did an excellent job was creating these evangelists where folks would say, go look at my video. And guess what? It's on my website. And where is it? It's on YouTube. Other examples of folks. Here's a more current one. Twitter. Why is Twitter so successful? Or one of the reasons why Twitter is so successful is they've created these buttons that you take and you put on third-party websites. So if I have a blog, I put a Twitter button on my blog saying, follow me. So everywhere you go, people are saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. And where are you following me? Follow me on Twitter. I mean, it's incredible the amount of publicity they're getting. If you look on your television, if you're looking to news channel, if you're listening to anything, even news channels are saying, follow us on Twitter. And they're all putting out their Twitter logo. And all of these other companies have sort of become evangelists. Large corporations are putting the Twitter logos and saying, follow us on Twitter. What are they really doing? Creating evangelists. So that is a very key element of how we do this. Anyways, we're talking about building consumer technology companies and consumer web companies. If you have a favorite consumer technology company, consumer web company, mobile technology company, and you're wondering why it succeeded, we'd love to hear from you and analyze why it succeeded. We'll be right back after this break.
Ruit is looking for interns in 1, marketing, 2, web design, and 3, web development. Please send a resume to radio@ruit.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting a tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Are you behind on or having difficulty making your mortgage payments? If you or anyone you know is facing foreclosure and looking for answers, please contact us right away for a free consultation. Contact Sean Nasir, 209-603-3737. Or go to www.georealtyusa.com. That's G-O-G-E-O RealtyUSA.com. California Department of Real Estate, license number 01475435.
Do you ever search for anything on the internet? Ever use Google or Yahoo? Typically, you will go through several pages to find the information you seek, and it's only parts of a page that are relevant to you, not the entire page. So why not just highlight the most relevant portions? Everything you highlight is automatically clipped and saved for you, and the underlying pages are saved too. Really? And don't worry, at Ruit.com, we magically do all this without ever asking you to fill out a form or register for our service. And we certainly don't ask you to pay for anything. So, automatically, save everything relevant to you forever. Folks, if you are looking to gain experience, this show is looking for volunteers. You'll get an opportunity to interact with fabulous people and make amazing business contacts while learning skills from the masters. Skills that will set you up for huge success in your own life. Ruit.com is a micro-information service that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. Ruit then enables you to do all kinds of interesting things with those highlights. It's fast and free. No sign-up, no download. Try it out. What have you got to lose?
Sabne Salamat, you're live on air with Rohit Chandra.
Hi Rohit, this is Deep calling.
Hi Deep.
So I had a question. You were talking about Twitter, and I was wondering, I'm not a big Twitter fan myself, I'm a big Facebook fan. And I don't understand how Twitter can be so successful, even though Facebook has much more functionality.
I'm going to throw out a cliche first. Less is more.
Okay.
But let me try and answer that question in a more intelligent way. I think Twitter is very successful. First of all, I'm much like you as a user myself. I am not a big Twitter user. I am a very big Facebook user. But having said that, I think the reason that Twitter is successful is there is a lot of information overload on the web. And
right.
When you write a blog, I don't have time to read your entire blog posting. But
right.
If you write a very short message, I am interested in seeing that message. I do want to know what my friends are doing. I do want to know what people are doing. And that is of value. Mm-hmm. Because the web has now gotten to the point that there is just inordinate amount of information overload. And we really have to figure out some way to fight this information overload. I mean, look at an example of Google search, right? You go do a search and you come back with Google, or Google comes back with 20,000 results.
Yep.
And you really have no way of going through the 20,000 results. In fact, I'm going to make another very contrarian viewpoint. I think search is horribly broken today. Everybody thinks search is finished, done, and over with. It is my contention that search is horribly broken. Because when I'm looking for something, I don't want 20,000 results. I want 5 results or 7 results or 9 results. And those, I want those results to be what I want them to be. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm digressing. Coming back to your question about Twitter. So that's one reason why Twitter became successful, is folks have an easy way to get to micro information. The second piece that Twitter did very successfully is they created evangelists. And they were able to successfully create evangelists by having this whole notion of creating followers and creating badges and buttons. I just answered that, I think, a few minutes before, where you can put a Twitter button on your own website. And the moment you put your Twitter button on your own website, everybody says, come follow me. Now, what you are really touting is the fact that come follow me. What you don't realize is you're actually touting Twitter.
Right.
That come to Twitter. And
but that's the same thing with Facebook too. Facebook also has a button everywhere, and even Facebook has those status messages where people can write the same stuff that they write on Twitter.
Let's talk about that. So first of all, do you have a blog yourself?
No, not really.
Okay, all right. Think of it like this. Facebook has status messages, and Facebook just recently realized what Twitter had done. Recently, I'm going to say within the last 6 months.
Okay.
And only in the last 6 months, they've created the Facebook like button. Before that, there was no Facebook like button.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because there is a Facebook like button, they've actually mimicked exactly what Twitter did and said, and they've become prolific on the web. Now, everywhere that you go, you're beginning to see more and more of these Facebook like buttons.
Right.
Which is exactly the whole notion of creating evangelists, that you create I put out a blog posting or I put out a news article and you say, put a Facebook like. Guess what happens? I'm pushing people to Facebook while I'm trying to show my own vanity that I put up this article. Guess what? 27,000 people like this article.
Right.
So you've really empowered somebody else to be more successful by making them your stuff.
Right. So do you think Facebook will win the race? I mean, once they've caught on to the idea that Twitter had and this is they have more functionality?
I think Twitter is way past that point today. where it's not so much a matter of winning the race. I think it's just a different game that's being played. And obviously, this is not one of those things that's either or. It's a very big market, and there's room for lots of players. I mean, if you look at the search market, Google has been the king for the last, I'm going to say, decade. But that hasn't deterred Yahoo from playing in the search space. That hasn't deterred Bing from trying to make multiple forays. And they haven't deterred lots of other upstarts to come out and say that, you know, we're going to create a new search. So it's not a matter of either or. I think if you want to ask me that question about either or, I would be more worried if I was LinkedIn. Because LinkedIn used to be business networking, and that has very easily crossed over into the Facebook domain, where a lot of business contacts are on Facebook pages as business contacts. And they are the ones, I think, who need to be worried about what Facebook is doing. Of course, it's not like they're going to die or something, but some of the other will find value and figure out a way to do this. There's obviously always room for more than one player, but that's the one I would be worried about.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Okay. Yeah, bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right, folks. So that was an interesting call. We are talking today about building successful consumer web properties. We're talking about building successful mobile properties, and we're talking about building consumer technologies. So we are also trying to analyze what are the simple reasons that allow folks or certain companies to succeed. And question I have for you, my listeners out there, is do you have a favorite company out there, and are you wondering why it succeeded? So if you have a favorite company that and you'd like to analyze why it succeeded, call into the studios at 408-912-5565. All right, coming back. So we were talking about differences between marketing, and we were talking about viral marketing versus word-of-mouth marketing. And I gave you a definition of viral marketing. The other definition that I want to give you, or not even give you as a definition, but sort of share with you, is this whole notion of word-of-mouth marketing. And commonly when people say, give me a name of company of viral marketing, and Google is a name that gets bantied around a lot. And it is my contention that Google was not viral until very recently, and even so, I'm not sure that it's really viral even today. The reason I say that is, it's word of mouth marketing. There is no interaction between two people. The little bit of virality that I see now is when two people are having a conversation and they want to settle an argument or something, they say, Google it. So from the time that Google became a verb, it has become somewhat viral, because in a person-to-person interaction, they're saying, go do a search. But when Google first started out, gosh, what was it, 97 or something? I think it was 97. Maybe it was 98. Yeah, I think 97. Anyways, anybody can look that up. That's a minor detail. At that point, it was all word of mouth marketing, where people would go to each other and say, you know what, go look at this. But the focus of the interaction was not the product. They were telling each other that, go try this out. So that's word of mouth marketing. So that's viral marketing, that's word-of-mouth marketing. We'll continue talking a little bit more about guerrilla marketing, and then we'll also, time permitting, we'll talk about organic marketing. We've got some fantastic stuff coming up in the coming weeks as well. But anyways, I've got a few calls on hold. I'm going to start grabbing these one at a time if I can. Question for you, my listeners today, is, are you wondering why your favorite consumer technology company is successful? Call in, we'll try to analyze why it did. All right, Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Rohit, this is Preet.
Sapne Salamat, Preet.
Yes, Sapne Salamat. I wanted to discuss, you know, the mobile couponing or the couponing market.
Mobile couponing, okay.
Mobile coupons or just the coupons, you know.
Yes.
The coupon market, if you see the model of Groupon,
yes,
it has become successful. It is now like more than $1 billion company.
Right.
So any thoughts on Groupon?
Everybody's talking about Groupon. I think last time we did a show, and I said the two questions that I get most commonly asked or advice from folks is around social shopping and mobile apps. These are the two hottest areas that entrepreneurs have. And I could give you thoughts, but I would more importantly ask you, do you have a question around Groupon? I can tell you again how it fits into my model of these three rules, because there is a person-to-person interaction where you tell your friends, like, you know what, here is a deal. If all of us buy this, we get it at this price.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Person-to-person interaction, focus of the interaction is the product.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it's a very fundamental. These are very, very fundamental facts, and I'm trying to repeat them time and time again so I can pound them into some of my listeners, and some of you guys can go and build successful companies by using just these very simple rules. That's all it... I oversimplified by when I was going to say that's all it takes, but all it takes is to understand it, and then you have to build your business and product around these concepts.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call. All right, so we are talking about what makes a consumer property successful. If you have a favorite company, call in and we'll try to analyze what makes your this particular company successful. So earlier we talked about YouTube as an example. There's another example that I'd like to talk about really quickly that I think has been very interesting, and folks have always talked about is this whole notion of being able to look at stuff and make it viral. And this is something that people have forgotten about, but I want to bring out a company called MapQuest. This was a company which was, acquired by AOL in the late 90s. And this was a concept of virality back in that day, because guess what they were doing? MapQuest allowed you before these to go, when you had to go from place A to place B to print out, this is before people had GPSs in their cars, that was the de facto place that people would go to. And guess what? You take MapQuest, you'd print a map out, and you'd go to your meeting. And every time you went to a meeting, you carried your MapQuest with you, and you sort of went out and infected the next person with it. So this is something that has been around for a very, very long time. Then third is this whole notion of organic market, organic growth, or organic. Before I get into organic, I should talk about guerrilla. Guerrilla is also very interesting. Guerrilla marketing is this whole idea where you go out and hit a small segment of people with the notion that once you hit this small segment of people, they will become adopters of your product, they will embrace your product, and then they will go out and carry it on to the next level, because remember, all of these work in collusion. You can use some of these, or you can use all of these, or you can use one of these, and if you use none of these, you're not going to you're not going to get very far in a company. Anyway, so guerrilla marketing is this whole idea, and in fact, again, I'll go back to the YouTube guys. Before YouTube became really successful, what these guys were doing is they were posting ads on Craigslist. And they were posting ads in Craigslist of how to put up videos out there. In fact, one of the things that they were doing is they were putting up videos of scantily clad women. And this is trivia that you can go out and look up on the web somewhere. But when you do this, the whole idea is, again, guerrilla. What they were trying to do was saying, can we go out there, get the whole notion to be embraced? And when somebody embraces the notion, then they'll really be able to understand and appreciate this cool product and technology that we've created. And that's the idea of guerrilla marketing, where you say, I don't have a marketing budget, I'm looking to build a successful presence, and I'm going to go out and do this. So one of the key elements about guerrilla marketing is that I don't have a dollar budget, but I still want to go get the product out there. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Rohit. This is a great show that you're doing. So you're talking about...
Sapna Salamat, caller.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Sapna Salamat.
Yeah, hi, Sapna Salamat. Great show, Rohit.
Thank you. What is your name?
My name is Shri.
Shri. Go ahead, Shri.
Yeah, you were talking about consumer-related companies. So I wanted to... The company that I was thinking was Shadi.com.
Uh-huh.
You said just, let's analyze why the website is so popular. So I wanted to see your... I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
All right. I will, again, take a stab at it. Again, I've never used Shadi.com. But again, it fits into the model that Shadi.com is a person-to-person interaction where you're saying, I'm looking for a bride or I'm looking for a groom.
Okay.
And you go on there and you say, am I going to find a suitable bride or am I going to find a suitable groom out there?
Uh-huh. Well, there are hundreds and hundreds of matrimonial websites out there, but, Shadi has picked up amazingly well. I mean, the first thing that people think of when you say matrimonial is Shadi. So, I'm just trying to dig your thoughts.
First of all, I'm very pleased you gave me that response, because I was hoping you would give me that response. Any smart person should say, duh, so what? Why Shadi and why not Barbadi?
Yeah.
So, first, I think, I don't know if you caught our show last week, and one of the things we mentioned in our show last week was name is very important. What goes into the name of your company is very important. And if you... look at it, Shadi.com. What is it that people are looking to do? They're looking to get married. So immediately the first thing you do is Shadi. If you put that into a search engine, you're going to put in Shadi. Guess where you're going to go? Shadi.com. So they did a fantastic job of picking the name. Remember what I also said, 5 to 7 characters. How many characters is Shadi? S-H-A-A-D-I. 6. Dead in the middle.
Okay, so what's in a name?
exactly. So you can...
All right.
Now remember, what I'm trying to do is, there is also Bharat Matrimony out there.
Exactly, that's a big name.
That's a big name. How many times do you want to type in bharatmatrimony.com? My fingers get tired.
Right. And also, you know, yeah, exactly, that's true. But then, I mean, you know, since you said Bharat Matrimony, that's also on the same lines as Shadi. They're pretty big as well, even though the name is big.
I know. There is no simple formula for these things. If there was a formula, we would all be highly successful. I'm trying to share commonalities that make people successful or make companies successful. And I'm trying to show you how they fit into those patterns so that when you build your company, when you build your business, you can embrace these principles. Now, obviously, you could take... I'm sorry. Are you okay? Are you with... Shri?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Do you have your windows rolled up and the radio turned off, please?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We're getting some noise over here. So, no, obviously you could have a name like Shadi.com, but you put a website over there that is completely, utterly useless, looks ugly as hell. It's not going to work. So, you have to build a good product. That's a given. It has to be simple. That's a given. But over and beyond that, I'm saying, what are the principles that you could use? And one of those principles was what's in a name. Another principle is person-to-person interaction. And then it's all about execution, right? So that's what these guys have done a good job of. They've been able to execute on it properly. And there are things that they do not do very well. For example, if the way I understand Shadi.com, actually I'm looking at it online right now. If you go to Shadi.com, the first thing they do is register now. They are violating my rules as far as I'm concerned. That doesn't stop them from becoming successful.
Yeah, exactly. Since I was listening to you earlier, you know, registration was one of the things that you were kind of saying a no to. But I guess the industry is a different industry, so you need registration.
No, it's actually not a different industry. I think it's an evolving industry. I've been propounding this no sign up business for, I would say, easily 5+ years. And the industry is migrating towards that with Facebook Connect now. I created a company way back in the 90s, and this is not about me, but I'm just about the fact that called eCode, which was created the first single sign-on product, which was the same idea as Facebook Connect, and we did that in 98. The whole idea is people do not like to fill out registration forms. These are fundamental facts that the industry has to embrace. There was a fantastic article that came out a while ago, and last week's show, I mentioned something where I said the hardest thing to change for consumer technology companies is user behavior. And I'm now going to speak from the other side of my mouth and give you the other perspective, that the best products are built by product visionaries, where they are all about changing consumer behavior.
They're all about, I'm sorry, what was that?
Changing consumer behavior. And
changing, okay.
So these are completely contrarian viewpoints, and I very strongly subscribe to both of these. I'll try to point out the subtlety in the difference. So one is, do not try to change consumer behavior. You cannot do that. It's a very, very hard thing to do. The second point is, you have to lead the user to know what his needs are and how to fulfill those needs. So you're not changing behavior per se, but you're teaching them new behavior. And Facebook is a fantastic example of that. Facebook, I think as a site, is even today very hard to navigate. Most people don't know, if you look for something, where to find it logically. But guess what? What they've done is they've led the user to saying, listen, this is all you need to know. You, Mr. User, are dumb. Just follow this and things will work for you. And they've done a fantastic job of executing on it. I don't remember who wrote this article, but if you ever have the time or bandwidth, go search for this article, and it talks about how Mark Zuckerberg did this. I highly recommend it. All right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We're running out of time. If I get one more good quality call, I'm going to take it. We're going to try to screen the calls this time. We are looking for a good use technology company, and if you're trying to figure out why it succeeded. Another thing that I'm actually personally very pleased about is the fact that we've had at least a couple, if not three, female callers today. And last week I was talking to a friend, and she said that your show is all catered to the male audience. And I was like, no, it's not catered to the male audience. We just happen to have a lot of male callers. So I am really pleased, no end. And if that caller or that friend is listening, look, Sue, we do have women listening to the show. All right, we've got a fantastic set of shows coming up in the next 3 weeks. We've got Jasveer Gill, who's going to be coming on next week, and he is a fantastic story that he started this company called Versa and sold it for, I think, $300 or $400 million to SAP. And I think this is also one of those stories where they did not raise outside money. The other interesting thing about them was they did it as a husband-wife husband-wife team. Fantastic story. Week after that, we've got Carol coming on the show. Carol is actually the person in charge of the Angel Fund and the Angels Forum, sorry. And she's also a dear friend who's actually invested in one of my companies in the past. And she's going to talk about angel investing and what angels are looking at. So that should be a very interesting show. That's coming up on October 30th. Please make sure to listen to that show. October 30th, we'll talk about angel investing. And the night after that, we've got another very interesting guy who's also a good friend coming on, who's actually been featured on the cover of Upside magazine in wearing drag. So I'm not going to give away the name, but all the old timers know who I'm talking about. This, think of this as an Indian guy dressed in drag and was on the cover of Upside magazine. Fantastic. It was the buzz of the valley. I mean, had the entire valley talking about that. All right, folks, we completely run out of time. But certainly appreciate it. This has been really fun. And we're going to come back next week and talk with Jasbir about building successful businesses. Thanks so much. Keep listening. Sapne Salamat.
If you like our show, make sure to tell your friends to tune in on Saturdays at noon, every Saturday on 1170 AM. And if you work for a company such as Oracle, Sun, Google, Microsoft, Intel, etc., please send out a company-wide email on your DESI email alias about our show.
Sapne Salamat, dosto. Welcome to Jeans, T-shirt and Tie, the only Desi talk show of its kind anywhere in the whole world. Have you ever dreamed about starting a business? Then this show is dedicated to you and for you. The show is for entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, techies, and non-techies. Anyone and everyone that has a dream.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
For everything
Welcome.
And anything.
My name is Rohit.